past master of Harmony Lodge, one of the two times. You did it twice in a row, right?
Oh, that's years right. Apart. You did it twice in a row.
What was the gap? You did it in 2000 and...
When did I do it? 14 and last year.
2014.
Or 2 years ago. Because you've been in it for 2 years. So I did it 2 years apart.
Time flies.
Yes, it does.
Also one of the most prolific mentors we got in the district. You're always here helping out the young guys. And even some of the older guys remember their work and work on their new chairs. One of the things about masonry I love is there's always something new to learn. And you exemplify that because you're always helping guys learn something different or new or update their Masonic journey.
Well, for me, I took it to heart when it said you get out of it what you put into it. So like anything I do in life, I put a little bit of effort into it and I get a lot out of it.
You put a lot of effort into everything.
I do my part. There's doers in this world and there's watchers. I just sit in the camp of the doers, that's all.
So speaking of your life, you're one of the one person I was looking forward to speaking to for this podcast because you've got a unique story about how you got into masonry, mm-hmm. in that you were, not saying you're old, but you did get into masonry a little bit older than a lot of guys tend to.
I've been in it for 12 years, so I think I was about 48, 50, 2008 is when I got in. So you're looking 11 years ago, this fall would be 12 years completed.
So what got you first interested in masonry?
You know, I came from Quebec downtown, and, you know, when we moved here in 71, and because this is in a general downtown area, I was exposed to this building. Now, I always wonder, what's going on in there, right? Because I would always see men dressed well and black with a little black bag. So I thought it was like a place for doctors because it was right next door to the hospital. And it just stayed with me as a curiosity item. And after a few years of being married with my ex-wife, I asked her, I said, you know, I think I was talking to Nasser, which is an acquaintance of mine, which was a member of the Harmony Lodge. And he told me that he joined masonry, and it clicked with me at that time. So I mentioned to my ex-wife, hey, I think I might look into masonry a little bit. And of course, her cousin is George Garcia, another illustrious and famous mason in this district. And when she mentioned it to him, he said, hey, I'll bring him in, no problem, right? Because we know how hard it is to find good masons. And then she told the same story that I was interested in masonry to Paul Hooper, another illustrious mason. And Paul Hooper said, sure, I'll bring him in, right? And then Paul and George got together. George stood on a chair and said, he's mine, he's family. That's how I joined Harmony Lodge. And I never looked back.
Anybody out there is watching, if you know George Garcia, you know why Michelle said he had to stand on a chair. He's not the tallest fella that there is.
And Mr. Hooper is a giant, so...
Yeah, seeing those two together, it's a bit like, I don't even know what it'd be. It'd be like R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Like, yeah, you know, something like that.
It's very different. There's a yeah. height differential, that's yeah, there for sure. Is. So had you, in Quebec, had you heard about masonry at all? Was it?
No, I was too young. I came here, I was 13. You don't really know. You can't become a mason until you're 21, so it's not even in my horizon, right? But my mom did say, because they're staunch Catholic in Quebec back then, right? We're talking 50s to 60s now, these people. And my mom said, your grandfather must be turning in his grave because the Masons is a bad rap, you know? And them being staunch Catholics, you know, they looked at it maybe as an English tradition and they said, your grandfather must be turning over in his grave that now that you're a Mason.
Such an interesting thing because, I mean, I've known Catholic Masons. You know, I've known a gentleman who was a member of the Knights of Columbus and the Masons. Mm-hmm. Seems like that's only a one-way street. Certainly masonry, right, as the rules are, so long as you believe in a supreme being, mm-hmm. whatever faith denomination that is, whether it's Catholic or Protestant or Muslim, or mm-hmm. we've had eagle feathers I've seen
yeah.
used
yeah.
for First Nations mm-hmm. brethren. You know, we're welcoming of all faith so long as there is a belief in a supreme being.
The supreme being is important in anyone's life. It gives you a moral compass. If you have no moral compass, then I don't know that you're stocked for masonry. Masonry takes people, good men, and makes them better. And how can you become better if you don't have a moral compass? So I don't care where, I don't know any religion that tells you to do really bad. The interpretation of religion, that's another story. But at its core, all religions are good and preach good. So there lies your moral compass. So I'm not surprised. We're all equal under the eyes of God. God don't think of you as a Catholic. God don't think of me as a Protestant or vice versa. It doesn't matter. We're all people. We all have a soul inside of us. And that's what we should be working on.
What was the length of time between when you initially became interested in Masonry and spoke with George and with Paul Hooper and when you were initiated?
I was initiated in the fall. So I think I expressed my interest maybe during the summer at a barbecue or something. We saw George. We had, like, George's family, right? So my ex-wife would have a family function or we would go out to dinner or something, and I said something like that. And of course, Masons, when you hear, they always say, you want to be a Mason? Ask a Mason. I didn't necessarily ask, but I mentioned it because I didn't know George was Mason. And there's no Masonry in my family. I broke the mold, more or less, right? And unless I have another child, that may be the end of the tradition, right? Because I have a daughter and that's it.
So, although, speaking of that, we can, just to get a shout out to the Rainbow Girls in there, because...
Okay, you know, that's cool.
Phil Atkinson and I are good pals. There is the Rainbow Girls, which is the Masonic youth group for daughters or just any children, female children from... Atkinson's going to be mad at me because we got the age range. I think it's...
Joelle's 19, so it's not even her horizon, right?
Yeah, I think it's to 21. I'm not sure. I will find information about that for all your podcasts.
Yeah, when you do Billy's interview, you can ask him about that. I'm sure he'll be proud to tell you all about it.
They're having sleepovers and stuff at like the...
Yeah, it's okay. I think even the Rainbow Girls, you know, even though it's not, it's partially, it's Masonic principle exemplified for young ladies. It gives them a moral compass again. It teaches them a little bit of morality. And God knows the youth of today have a lot of challenges in that area, right? Because they're exposed to so much different messages. It's not wholesome always. So being an organization like that is a counterbalance to that, you know, that exposure of things that are very, very negative out in our world. Well, at least how I perceive it anyhow.
Do you think that, you know, Freemasonry... As I spoke to you earlier, starting out your Masonic journey a little bit later in life, not saying that you're one foot in the grave, but starting out a little bit later in life, do you think sometimes maybe people or men who have an interest in Masonry, do you think you know, it has something to offer people at any age? I think sometimes people can feel like if they don't get in when they're younger, they feel like maybe it's passed them by, but you know, any age Masonry can offer you something.
We were initiating a lot of older Masons too, so whether it's on the bucket list or not, there's an interest that needs to be harvested somehow. And when you join older, your contribution may be lessened because, you know, we do some memory work through ritual work and stuff to teach the lessons of morality that we follow, and a lot of it is done through degrees and you know, how we learn our lessons, that's the methodology. And a lot of people are not able to gather speed in that area because they're just too old. They're not, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm very healthy for my age and I still have a memory, but that memory can be spread too thin too, which is a problem that many of us encounter.
You're very healthy for somebody half your age, the amount of work that you do.
And it's just, I have a full-time job too, you know, so you have to balance life. Some people will get lost in Masonry, and they may do too much. And you're encouraged, because there's different paths one can take. You're encouraged to go down those paths, and you don't know any better, because you've never walked those paths. There's nobody to show you unless you join, right? So you have to be careful. You have to find balance. And I think I've achieved the right balance. In order not to spread myself too thin, I'm able to contribute, because I have the time to do it. And, you know, there's a certain amount of self-pride in this, too. I want to do well no matter what I do and put an honest effort. And when you do, it shows up. And you get respect for it. You know, it's something that people will respect you for, because not everybody has it in their heart, Masonry. people join masonry and evolve in masonry different ways. Some people do it for strokes their ego. Some people, they just like me. I'll tell you, I follow a very basic principle in my life. One of them is, who do you hang around with is who you become. I wanted to hang around with good people, and I realized that very quickly. When I joined masonry, I was hanging around a good set of people. It's bound to make me better.
I talked to another worshipful brother, another past master, Bon Soto. Mm-hmm.
Very good mason, by the way.
He is.
Highly respected.
Oh, he's a great guy. He was the master when I joined, when I was initiated.
He initiated you?
He initiated me. Hmm. Probably regrets it ever since. He probably looks back and wonders why.
You've done your part.
But he initiated me, and then it was Paul Rogers who passed me and raised me and went up to the degrees with him. But
well, he's back in this year, so
not anymore.
No, he's done now.
Yeah,
Igor. Yeah, Igor got voted. I saw.
So Igor took over. I don't know how we'll survive Igor through Canada. We'll find a way. Harmony did.
We did okay.
We don't know how. We still talk about it.
No. Igor's a good mason.
Yeah,
he's a good mason.
He's good.
The younger people have more challenges from life. You know, us that are older. Igor has a family and...
us that were older than me, all right? I'm young. Just relax.
You. Yeah, well.
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, you're doing fine.
I'm 23, people in YouTube land. I'm 23 years old. But
they're gonna believe that, right?
23.
Yeah, well, you jump off the turnbuckle like a 23-year-old. I'll give you that much.
That's right.
I always say I have a lot of admiration for you because you're the most abled person I know. That's, you know, you're disabled. It's obvious, but I'm saying you're the most able. You do not see a disability, and most people will use the lack of memory or lack of energy, and they use that as an excuse not to get involved. I've never sensed that from you. You just go for it, and I admire that about you.
That's much appreciated. You go after it. I mean,
yeah, I do too. But it could be a challenge. We all have our challenges. Let's put it this way: you're very accomplished, so it's cool. It's cool with me. I look up to what you've accomplished, and when I see people that are perfectly capable of participating and don't, you know, they lose out. You will not lose out because no matter what it is, you're going to throw yourself in it, and you're going to extract from it as much as you can.
That's much appreciated. That's
true.
It's always been my goal in Mason, right, is like you said at the start, and it's one of the phrases that you hear a lot. You know, you get out of Masonry what you put into it. So if you're not going
to... We live it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to live it, right? And we do charity. So there's many areas in Masonry that you could participate and find a sense of belonging other than the sheer brotherhood, right? And I'm sure I've seen you outside of here many, many times. And there's always a smile on your face to see, there's my brother. I saw you, what was it? At the casino the other day,
yeah.
At Tim Hortons. Like, well, what the hell's Cam doing here?
But actually, not Tim Hortons, I'm not going to lie.
No?
I went to the casino
to get a coffee.
Free coffee, yeah. Yes. I get the free coffee at the casino.
That's okay.
Sorry, Caesars. It's good coffee.
By the way, I don't gamble. I just work there.
Well, you're renovating, right?
Like, yeah, we're renovating the casino. Been there for a year and a half. Going to be there maybe for almost another year.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a long process.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean...
That's what keeps me busy.
We talked, mentioning about how, you know, people have lives and it gets busy. I mean, you're a prime example of that, right? You're up at, I don't even know when, way too early.
5 o'clock in the morning every day.
It's ridiculous.
Saturday, I sleep in till 6.
You're up at 5 in the morning. You're at the casino till whenever.
Four
you're back
or five.
Here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
sometimes I go back at night.
A couple hours later, you're here for a lodge meeting or to mentor guys.
Or to help another lodge, and I have to leave. Sometimes I miss out on the fellowship because I was working weekends too for a couple of years in the nightclub, helping another friend of mine. I have a helping heart. That seems to be a pattern in my life. You know, I've gathered a lot of skills in my life, and they're useless to me unless I help people with it. And I've come to realize that. And I always wonder, why do you learn so much? So much, you do so much in masonry. You do this, you do that. And what I've invested in masonry is going to come to fruition in the next maybe 10 years because I'm mentoring, I'm helping people, and I'm lighting the fire of masonry within them. And a lot of people don't have that fire. I'm hoping pride and the love of masonry. that just makes masonry altogether better.
It does. I agree. And I want to go back to the word that you use, mentoring. Because mm-hmm. this is something I talked to Bon Soto about. There's different ways to mentor. Mm-hmm. And I especially like the way that you mentor guys. Because it's one thing to focus on just memorization. Because mm-hmm. part of being a Mason is you have to be able to memorize pieces
some
of
work. Yeah.
And you have to be able to recite it back. And there are some guys who will just focus on memorizing the words. Mm-hmm. But you're one of the guys who will stop and talk to guys about what those words mean mm-hmm. or what the words mean to
why
them.
Why do we do it this way?
Yeah, or why is it written that way, or why is it important to memorize things mm-hmm. as opposed to reading them out? Mm-hmm. So if you could just talk about finding that balance in mentoring between making sure guys know the words, but also making sure they understand the meaning behind the words and understand what it means.
For me, it starts with the person that I'm helping, okay? Some people, that's what they want. But I have this innate sense that they're going to love it. And I'm going to mention a particular brother, and I've mentored many, but it's just I've been mentoring him lately, Jeff Bonhomme. Jeff is not, he'll memorize it, but he likes to understand. He comes to appreciate masonry than just being part of it. Right? He likes tradition and he likes different things, and some candidates like that. But I don't want you to learn. I want you to learn to love masonry at the same time that you're learning your work. And part of it is you have to impart upon them a greater meaning, a true meaning, and maybe relate it to them or to your life as an example. And it paves a road for a Masonic career, which those of us that have been in masonry for a long time, we have a Masonic career, and we will have achievements. And all of that is, sure, there's lessons along the way, but there's so many angles to masonry for us members, the fellowship, the help. There's a lot. I look at it as an insurance policy. If I ever fall on a hard time, masonry will help me. And I mean masonry, not just the governing bodies. I mean my brothers. If I need a job, I could start feeling around. They don't get around that this guy's a good man. Right? He's a guy who gets involved. This kind of stuff. And this is not necessarily in the ritual. And by developing relationships with the candidate through the mentoring is when I impart to them the greater good that masonry will do in their life. And it's up to them. I never force anybody to do anything. I just present it. From the learning standpoint, I understand that I like to mentor in this building. Because somehow things stick in your brain when you're doing it, than doing it at home. At home is memory work. It all comes together when you bring them in the lodge here in our building and teach them. And they perform well. And I find them having a lot of success. If I have the first degree mentoring, I'll take them to the third. They will learn to love it. They don't necessarily follow. Those that don't show up for the first degree mentoring, we understand this was not for them. Right? But those that do, I got them. I will make them love masonry.
One thing I like to do when I'm mentoring guys, something similar to what you do, is after they learn a piece of work mm-hmm. and they can recite it, you know, word perfect or close to word mm-hmm. perfect, I'll stop and I'll ask them if they know what it means. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they won't.
It won't.
They'll know, they'll be able to recite the words, but they won't understand necessarily what they mean. Sometimes it's because the words that we use are older, mm-hmm. right? Our fraternity goes
old
back.
Old English.
1717 is the official start date, but it's that's even older than masonry. Masonry existed in many
forms. The English soldiers. They brought it over and they had lodges. That's how they, you know, they had their social time was from those old English lodges that were part, they were largely military.
Or the trains, as we see behind us, Great Western Lodge.
Great Western Lodge.
Formed from the railroad. Well,
that's the oldest lodge in our territory.
Oldest lodge in this building, 1854.
In our territory, even.
This still beats it.
Huh?
This still lodge beats it.
By what?
Amherstburg?
What's their number?
Three.
Three? Really?
Something like that. We got Mort Brods. You can't see him, but he's behind the camera right now. What's this lodge again? What's their number?
34.
34? Okay.
Well, that's even younger.
Yeah.
You might have to do a podcast on that one day, explain to them.
Oh, Atkinson. I'm going to get him in. Because he's this lodge.
Good for you.
Do you think that Or what advice would you have for, we'll go kind of, there's three different types of people. There are people who are interested in joining Masonry, mm-hmm. But haven't done so for mm-hmm. whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Then there are people who are just brand new to the craft. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who have been around for a little while, mm-hmm. But are maybe finding themselves, you know, a bit stagnant in Masonry or not sure how to proceed with it. So what type of advice would you have for those people? We'll start with the Mason who's interested in joining.
I would, somebody who's interested in Masonry should seek out a Mason. A lot of people will just see the Masonic building, they'll call in, and then the administrative body of this building will refer them to a lodge, right? And there's lodges going on. Lodges just are meetings. We call them, we have the building we call our lodge too, but really it's just a meeting of the people, right? Under a charter, it's called the lodge. So one of the questions should be, there's lodges every night. Which night would work well for you to participate? Don't choose a night that you can't get involved because you have family obligations, you're a coach, or you're teaching something else, or whatever there is in people's lives. Try to leave a night or take on a night that you could participate, because you're going to get so much more out of it, right? Someone who's recently joined, I think mentoring is how you light the fire under them. And take them under your wings. A lot of what's missing is, we'll have a new member, he'll come in, a young person, and we give him his degrees, but nobody takes him under their wing. By way of friendship, mentoring will create the friendship. But I'm saying, even if I'm not the mentor and that's my methodology, somebody else can just befriend that person and take them to other lodges. One of the greatest benefit, if not joy, is to visit the other lodges, meet the wider body of Masons. If you just stick to your lodge, then you know the people in your lodge. No, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's so much more to be garnered. Right, and that's how you get exposed to the other bodies of Masonry, other people, different opinions, and you might, through this, you might find a place where you feel you belong. And so I did that with Scottish Rite. You see, after I finished my craft lodge work, I went into Scottish Rite, and I investigated it, and I started to participate, and I've learned to love the Scottish Rite. That's who I am. I'm a Scottish Riter now, right? And I've done well there too. Why? Because I just show up and participate. It's all I've ever done. You said that earlier. You're involved in a lot of things. I am. And I don't hold it up. Other people are involved as well. But I show up. And I do my part. And if I do my part, then, you know, other people see that. And at some point, leaders will come out. And those that have been exposed to more of Masonry are the leaders of the future. So if you stay within your limited scope of just a limited amount of exposure, say, in your craft lodge, right, then that's what you know. If you expose yourself to the wider body, you become a leader. If you learn to love Masonry, you want it to survive into the future. So we need leaders. We need people that are going to do things and have knowledge about Masonry, its history, and what we don't know is the future. So we have to carve ourselves a new future in Masonry. Because we're competing for the attention of people with technology, with a hurried life, with their need to make money and to survive. And, you know, now we're going to go into another direction in this talk. But it's a true fact that we have to light that fire in them and keep it going.
What interest do you have, and this leads into something else I want to talk about, or even have a special video. What interest do you have outside of Masonry? Because you talk about, you know, leading a busy life, you've got your work, you've got Masonry, but I can see it over in the corner. I know you have a few interests outside of outside of Masonry, or interests that maybe started out outside of Masonry, but have become Masonic. What would be one example of that, or some examples?
Well, I have a lot of different interests. I really do. Multi-dimensional, so to speak. I play guitar. That's one thing. One of my loves.
That's what's in the corner. It's right over there.
That's one of my loves. And then one of the other things I really enjoy is just learning in general. So I, you know, I've done business in my life. I've studied marketing. I've done many things. It's a consistent thing in my life to learn new things, or else I start to stagnate, right? And if I don't, I get involved in something that teaches me something. I sit on a couple boards. I sit on one board, but I sit on a community board for the Children's Safety Village, and I volunteer for their bingos. So again, I'm skewed towards masonry and towards working, but I pepper some other stuff in there just to bring balance. You can't just give all your energy to one thing.
And you, and this is something I like, and I think we don't encourage Masons to do this enough, is you, so you have a love of music, and you play the guitar, and you wrote a Masonic song.
Yeah.
But I think...
And many others have. Somebody from your Windsor Lodge did. The gentleman that died a few years ago, quite a few years ago.
Yeah, there's been...
A few. I think you should... I encourage you to, you know, seek that stuff out. It's what I call culture. There's a culture in masonry, right? And where did this come from? I wrote this in probably half an hour. Why? Because there's a fire in me about masonry. And it comes out there no different than it comes out in everything else I do.
It's a terrific song. Hopefully you can play it for us. Maybe you can
one of these days I will play it for you.
We'll put it on, we'll give it as some bonus content for the Patreon supporters. But I think what I like about the fact that you're doing that, and I tell guys this, is when you're coming into masonry, mm-hmm. you're not coming in like brand new. You're coming in with your own set of interests and your
skills.
Own set of skills and abilities. And it's, you know, if you can, you should try to bring those things into lodge. You know, if you, for example, like woodworking mm-hmm. and you're a craftsman, mm-hmm. then, you know, by all means, see if there's places in your Masonic temple that need some work that you can work on, or
don't. That's happened in the past. We have unique items here that were made by the members.
Or if you enjoy public speaking, you can talk about that and bring that up to Masonic Lodge.
Between me and you, we can talk for hours.
That's true. This podcast might go on a while.
You don't take a second seat to anyone when it comes to talking.
Or
that's a lawyer in you, though.
Yeah, you know. Don't tell people that. They'll never tune in again. Or if you're a poet, if you like poetry, you can write a Masonic poem. You know, certainly we've had many very famous, sometimes infamous Masonic poets through the years. If you like painting, if you like, you know, whatever interest you have. You know, we had a gentleman who really loved archival work. Mm-hmm. And I tried to encourage him to, you know, we have so many old books in this building that aren't really archived well, or even turning them to digital copies so that they're easier to access. Because we have, like you said, we date to 1717. Masonry in this area dates to 1754. Thistle Lodge popped up. It predates the War of 1812.
That's a long time ago.
You know,
that's why they were called the Redcoats.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a story, I don't know if it's true or not, I'll have to check with Thistle Lodge when I interview them, that the day before the War of 1812 was officially declared, the commander of the British forces in North America and the commander of the American forces were both meeting in the same in Thistle Lodge. Mm-hmm. Right? They met in Brotherhood on the one day, and then the next day they were fighting each other.
It all hit the fan the next day.
But it's
yeah, but back then it was times were different.
That's yeah, and it's a very cool. I think it's very neat. There's so many stories of that of masons on opposite sides of wars finding each other and helping each other, or taking their tokens back to their families after the fighting was done.
One of the concepts in masonry is meeting on the level. On the level is we meet as human beings. So there's been kings that became Mason. And they were not kings in the lodge. They were just another human being. And that's a very important concept, because no matter where your station is in life, you come to lodge, you're a brother. I don't care how many medals are on your chest, you're a brother. You're a human being. And as a human being, I may have accomplished less than you, but we're equal there. There is a soul within me. There is that spark of God is within me, and we're equal at that level.
There ain't many people who accomplished... more than you. You've
the king of England was one of the kings of England. All I'm saying is, this is one of the fundamentals of masonry, is that we're all equal. Hence why it's lasted so long. It hasn't fallen prey to ego. We're all human beings. I'm not saying there's no ego in masonry, because there is, right? We know that. But it's not one of its main principles. It's just an offshoot of being human, right?
You talked about masonry having lasted for so long, and, you know, it's the oldest fraternity in the world. Do you worry at all about the future masonry? Do you think that, I mean, the heyday for masonry was the 1920s in terms of membership, if that's the metric you want to use. At the time, 1 in every 10 adult males in the States was a Mason, and in Ontario, anyways, we had about 100,000. Right, this building was built in 1921.
It's gonna be 100 years old next year.
That's right.
You should have a podcast on that one.
We will. I love this building. The Detroit Masonic Temple was built. It was started in 1920, finished in 26.
The same vintage.
You see a lot of these grand Masonic buildings and Masonic temples being built in that time period because the craft was so ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's at least membership rates are declining. I don't think that's a secret. Do you worry about the future masonry, or do you think that it's just a matter of adapting and changing? Or do you think that even though it's getting smaller in terms of membership, we still have strength in that core group of members to maintain it going forward?
Like anything else in this life that we live nowadays, you need money. And money comes from the membership. So one of the pressures on masonry is not its message, it's not what it can offer to a man. It's really being able to keep its message out there. And it needs resources to do that. So when you have dwindling membership, it's not necessarily the craft that's gone wrong. The craft is going to attract the people that it needs to attract, right? Its survivability is in the numbers. So what masonry has to do, in my view, is not necessarily change its message. It's change the way it operates. It has to come to terms with certain realities, right, that masonry is facing in modern times. And it seems like we're on an upswing now. We've been through this, I'm sure, many, many times. Some of the older masons, yeah, they remember, but there had to be some seesaw back and forth. Membership would come down, or, you know, I'm sure in the 50s, late 50s, it started to go down because kids started to get into rock and roll. Their interests were into cars, different things. So you would see that as something different. Life was getting a little harder. Two people started to work in the family. So the more leisure time that a person would have and maintaining their lifestyle was more prominent. Now it's just more demanding on the person. So one has to juggle a little bit. In my view, you make decisions. You're going to decide to be a Mason. What you put into it is your decision. It's there. It's like I offer you a platter full of goodies. Take the one you want. But it's your decision. I provided you with the platter. So take what you want from it, right?
That's, take as much as you can from it because it's being offered to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the understanding that you're expected to put some stuff back into it too, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Right? The platter should be passed from person to person. And
of course it is.
You're always taking something, but also hopefully giving something back.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given a lot back to masonry. I think.
I do my part, Cam. Not no more than there's other people that do a lot too, right?
That's true.
I just do my part.
You do. Right? You definitely do.
Because by my involvement, I think I bring longevity, right? Because one of the things we forget. Okay, I don't have a son to pass it on to. You got it from your grandfather through your dad to you, right? I don't have that luxury.
Hey.
Another guy. I don't have that luxury.
It's cool. Bob Kubrov is here, ladies and gentlemen.
What happened?
We're not on
a podcast.
We're not live. Come on this way. Say hi, people. This is soon to be the next worshipful master. Come on down. You gotta
sit down for a minute. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
This is Bob Kubrov. He is not yet, but soon to be worshipful master of Harmony Lodge in about 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, I only have 3 hours left before I could.
So if he wants to run, now's your chance, buddy. Now's your chance.
No. Well, up and down. It's been a busy week. Anyway, I'll let you be because I gotta still. It's busy being and installing being a master to be installed or something.
Master elect. Just put on some clean underwear, you'll be fine.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right. Good night, everybody.
Just close the door a little bit so maybe people just won't pop
in
so much.
We should get these two guys in here. Come on down. Let's say hello. We got Mort Brodsky over here.
Hello.
We got Bob Porter. Come on, come say hi.
Hi.
It's a weird voice coming from the distance.
Hi.
All right. Well, there you go.
Where were we now? What were we talking about?
I don't remember. Longevity.
Yeah.
Right. Longevity of the craft. And it came to
And it's a complex issue. It competes in society with other interests. The resources, financial resources of society have dwindled. We know that. So, you know, the pie is still there, but you got to cut it up in different pieces. And each piece is becoming a little bit bigger because somebody wants more from it, right? I'm just fortunate enough to have the energy, the resources, and the desire and that burning flame that's in me to contribute.
Well, you contributed a lot. I'm so happy to... you were, when I did my list of people I wanted to be on this podcast, you were one of the ones at the very top because of all you contributed to Masonry and also all you contributed to my Masonic... Mm-hmm. journey. You've been a very important part of my Masonic career. You helped me out greatly when I was the Worshipful Master of Windsor Lodge, and again when I was the Worshipful Master of Harmony Lodge. So I wanted to make sure to have you on here because I think you have, by your work, by your history, I think you have a lot to offer guys, and so I was happy you got the chance to do it in a digital space this time.
That's right.
I think... we'll end with this, but then I'm hoping you can also read your Masonic song, or even if you want to play it later on, we'll see if we can have a video of it. For
I encourage you to, anybody who's a performer, we have a lot of musicians in Masonry, and one of the things that doesn't irk me, that I wish we could get together, is a Masonic band local. So we have our events, we have our own members step up on stage and play a little bit together. We have great voices, we have pianists, we have concert pianists in Masonry. So we have some very accomplished musicians of all kinds. I'm an amateur at best. I mean, we have opera singers. We have, you name it. We have it in Masonry. We have rock and rollers. We have everything. And it's just, you know, people are busy. I understand that. I get it.
Yeah.
But you want me to read that song? I'd rather play it for you at some other time, but I don't sing very well. So I wish I had that Masonic band that I'm wishing for. If you want me to read it, I'll read it for you. I've read it in Lodge before. Right? And then just a lot got to listen to it. This time, maybe the wider body of Masonry can listen to it.
We'll end with the song. The last question I got for you before you read out the song.
Sure.
And then I'll get you playing it later on.
I'll play it. I just need to practice a little bit. I'm a very busy guy. I don't have time to practice my music as much as I should.
You're definitely a busy guy. In Masonry, when somebody is joining, they have what's called a... board of inquiry or a committee, which is meant to meet with the brother, meet with his family, if he has a family, his wife or his children or his partner or whomever it is, his husband, whatever it is, to discuss so that the family understands what Masonry is all about and what it entails as well. If we were imagining that somebody watching this is interested in Masonry, and we're like a committee of inquiry. What piece of advice, what thing would you most want to impress upon that potential candidate?
Well, first of all, he has to seek balance between Masonry, which we hope he may learn to love, and his family life. That's his first responsibility. You should not forego your wife or your children for Masonry. Then you're not really following the right principles, as far as I'm concerned. And Masonry will not teach you to do that either. So meeting the family is good because they get to meet a little bit of the kind of people you hang around. Go back to one of my fundamentals of life. Who you hang around with is who you become. If we show up and we don't make a good appearance or we don't appear to be good people, then their family member gets to associate with less than desirable people, right? So I think it's a good thing to have them on board. And also, because they're coming in fresh, they don't know anything about Masonry, and neither does the wife in general. And if they go to the web, there's too much controversy there, you know, and false information. We on the inside know what's going on. Those on the outside, they only suppose. The old adage, we're not a secret fraternity. We're a fraternity with some secrets. We share with people that are worthy of those secrets, and you earn them because it's a journey, right? You join, you learn a few things, and then there's always more to learn. And when you finish learning the lessons they teach you, then you have to apply them in your life, which is another set of lessons, right? So it never ends. We have Masons that are in their 90s, and we have some people that have achieved 70 years plus as members of a body. Now think about that for a minute. I'm not even 70, although I'm getting closer. I'm not 70, right? And how can a body or a tradition or a fraternity hang on to somebody that long? There must be a nugget in there somewhere that fills a need within the human being. And part of it is our belief in God. Part of it is the moral code that we try to instill in our members and to live by. And so it's many things, but we're able to do that. Less so now because there's less people joining. But one of the things you do, which is very interesting, is you give them the letter, and they write a letter to themselves when they join, and when they're finished and they get their Master Masons, they get to look at it again 25 years from now, which is nice because that's like a hook, right? It's the hook into the candidate or the person, the member. He's going to say, wow, I ain't going to hang around here to look at that thing. I forget what I wrote, because 25 years from now, if you never see it again, you won't remember what you did. Nowadays, they probably take a picture of their phone, right? But nevertheless, I think it's a hook in a way, right? And then you're the only one that does it. I don't think anybody else ever does this. And it's a good thing that you did. You try to start. You started many things. I find you to be an innovator. Even though you may get disenchanted sometimes because you're dealing with a certain amount of apathy in people, but that's just general in society. Don't ever concentrate on people that are apathetic. Concentrate on the people that got the fire in their belly. And if you associate with them, it will fulfill that need that you have, you personally have, to be involved and to do things rather than sit on the sideline and watch, right? So I think it's very important. This will come out in an interview in a family setting, right? We're going to talk about certain things. We're not going to reveal any secrets, but I think the most fundamental principle that will shine at the interview is, what kind of people are my husband going to hang around with? Or my boyfriend? Or my son? Right? Doesn't matter. Or my partner nowadays, right? It doesn't matter. It's just who you hang around with is who you become. And I think that principle shines at that interview. And before somebody joins, they should know what they're getting into. And you know what? Even though somebody signed their application, they may have been brought in by one person. That person's cool. That person's good people. What about the other 699 people? What are they, right? So I think by meeting, you get to meet different people. The Board of Inquiry is a different person. One thing that you do, which I love, is you invite them to participate in a fellowship before they even join. So we get to meet them informally when they are who they are. You know what I mean? We get a taste of who they are. We get to talk to them. We listen to their questions because it's normal. They usually have questions, right? And because of the internet promulgating so many false truths, we get to correct some of this, right? So this is really good as a methodology to meet the brethren in the lodge, right? And meet them socially. Then go meet the family. Everybody's on board. You increase the chances of a candidate having a pleasant experience in Masonry and hanging around with us for 70 years.
Awesome. Well, with that, we are going to finish up this interview. Probably.
I don't know.
Is it running?
44 minutes. That's not bad. I think it might be the second longest I've done. Yeah. The longest was the Ghost Hunter.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the longest. So Congratulations, you're number two.
Yeah, but you're not going to put all this. You're going to edit it anyway.
No, I'm too lazy. Okay. I can't edit. I'm too lazy to edit things. It's all just going up.
All right.
So we're going to have you do the read out your song.
It's very Masonic.
It's a great song. I remember you played it at a barbecue for us once. We're going to end with that. If you tell the people watching, thank you so much for tuning in. please don't forget, hit like and hit subscribe. That helps this get out to more people, mm-hmm. either people who are interested in Masonry or who are Masons but want to grow in their Masonic journey. I personally think, and I might just be biased, but I think Windsor Essex has the best Masons in the world. So hopefully this can get... best Masons in the world. So hopefully this can get sent out to Masons everywhere so they can get some information about how we do things in Windsor and get some ideas on how they want to proceed with Masonry in their district. And last thing is, I remind everybody, if you want to go onto patreon.com, you can sponsor this podcast for between $5 and $25 a month, and then you get access to special bonus content, information not on YouTube, swag, like we got coffee mugs, all that type of cool stuff. And you help keep this going so we can continue to promote Masonry in Windsor, Essex. And with that, you get the final word.
Thank you. I wrote this, you know, I listen to other people's songs, and one line stands out in that song, and then I usually wind up churning it in my head, and all of a sudden it just takes off. So this song I wrote, it'll speak to Masons. It's still a good song, even though you're not a Mason, but Mason will appreciate it because it's peppered with Masonry. So, I drove my Dodge to the Mason's Lodge. My brothers are quite a hodgepodge. Hiram, our master, died suddenly. 1, 2, and 3, freeborn into Masonry. You know he built a better world made of stone. Because I'm a Mason with a passion. I came out of Egypt with a mission. A gavel and a chisel, and I worked myself to the bone. I tried myself a few of them chairs. Finally made it to Solomon's lair. Square and compasses and God to lead the way. Just a good man trying to be a better man. You know I built a better world made of stone. Because I'm a Mason with a passion. I came out of Egypt with a mission. A gavel and a chisel and I worked myself to the bone. Then one day the great lodge above call me home to be with God. The words on my tickets read, he's a Mason with a passion. He came out of Egypt with a mission. Now he's a better man with tired bones. You know he built a better world made of stone. He built a better world, and now he is home.